This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Conversations on life, style, beauty, and relationships. It's the Velvet's Edge podcast with Kelly Henderson.
I just said to Melody, I don't want to catch up with you other than saying hi before I press record, because you and I have now consistently just recorded real conversations, and I kind of think that might be our thing.
I think so too, 100%.
You asked me, how are you? Let's see. I'm still in my pajamas. It is 1:11 in Nashville, and it's 2 days after the shooting at that school, and I have been really heavy. I'm not going to lie. I it's going in waves for me, but as an empath, I'm really having to be considerate about what I take in, because there's so much of me that wants to help and do something, and I'm just furious. Like, honestly, that's kind of how I feel. And then I have this like other side that feels very helpless and hopeless and like really discouraged about the state of our country in general. And so I'm battling those emotions. And then I'm like, I can't just take all of everything in at all times, or else I'm completely useless to everyone. So like, it's just a balancing act right now. And I'm kind of tired in the moment, but I am finding peace. And what a great new experience for me in learning how to take care of myself, which you have been an integral part of that journey for me. So thank you. And thank you for asking. I would love to hear your answer of how you are.
You know, May 24th was my 40th birthday. And to have such a tragedy happen.
Wow.
When you wake up in the morning and you're trying to be like peaceful and present and grateful and joyful and just really feel the fact that you're alive. Like, that's how I woke up. I'm like, I'm alive and I'm well. And I'm so lucky. And I had such a low key day planned. It was not like a big, loud, 40 and fabulous kind of day. It was a very grounded, peaceful day. And to be in that place and then to remember so violently that our peace is so fragile and is so dependent on other people is jarring, because we do so much work to heal ourselves, to take care of ourselves, to do the work that we need to do to show up in the world from a place of wholeness and health and mental and physical, emotional wellness. And then just like that, no matter how much you put in, it can be taken from you. And I don't quite know how to reconcile those two things. I felt very defeated because I have two little girls who I sent off to a public elementary school that day that doesn't have armed security or anything like that. It's this idyllic little school nestled next to a hill. And I like to believe that they're safe there, but clearly, like, none of us are ever safe anywhere. And I don't know how to reconcile self-care with being in a world where our community is so fractured. So that's kind of where I'm at. We had planned to talk in advance of all of this, and I still want us to very much like talk on about what we had thought we were going to talk about. But I do think it's really important to acknowledge that people are all the things that you said: angry, distraught, scared, numb, devastated, in disbelief, in complete belief, because it feels so normal. I mean, that's the scariest thing, right? Like, how,
oh my gosh, yes,
how normalized this has become. And we see the social media memes that are going around right now and saying like, don't be desensitized. But I mean, it's hard not to be right now.
Right.
How else can we live?
Exactly. Well, first of all, happy 40th birthday.
Thank you. Thank you.
What a big milestone. And then what an interesting day for that to happen on. I bet that was a lot. Yeah. And I, you know, it's a really interesting thing to have a podcast, because in some ways you have this responsibility because you have a community and a platform. And like, I will say, okay, I can't not acknowledge what's going on. And there's another side of me that's like, I don't want to be all doomsday. And I know everyone is taking in so much information right now, that I also feel at the same time, this like responsibility to bring joy to people and positivity and hope. And so I want to acknowledge what happened. And I know that I don't really necessarily feel this need to educate everyone right now on like gun violence or gun laws and why this is happening. But I do want to acknowledge the weight of all of it. And obviously we want to send love out to all the families that have been impacted by this. I truly cannot imagine. To me, that the kids thing, that is where it just like all of it has been so bad lately and for years, but when there are just innocent children going to school, I like can't, there's something about that that physically makes me want to throw up. And yeah, I feel like we're imploding and have been for a very long time. And I'm praying to God that we finally start to fucking pay attention and do something. That's like all I can say about it. So anyway,
I will leave it with this. Someone shared this idea with me, which I think is really powerful. Uh-huh. If you're going to post about this on social media and express any of the number of feelings that you are feeling, in addition to doing that, obligate yourself to take a step beyond that. So if you're going to give yourself a soapbox, like, get on there, but also donate money, call a representative, like, you don't do it otherwise. Like, don't post. Like, if you're not going to actually do something, don't post. And that's kind of my rule for myself lately.
Totally. Like, I actually did that before you said that. That's how I've been handling this. Cause I'm like, I'm so sick of everyone just bitching about shit. Like, can we like either take an action, like you said, come up or bring me some solution. Like, I need to find, you know, I'm in recovery and 12 step, and like, you can't live in the problem forever because you want to die. So like, the whole reason 12 step works is because it gives you the tools to then live in the solution. And we've been living in the problem for a really long time, and we're so divided, and everyone is just like so opinionated. But like, what are you doing? You know, like, what are you actually doing? What is a step? I know for me, I feel very helpless in this, that I don't know what to do. The one thing I posted about was a place that I donate to. And I have, since the shootings happened in Vegas. Oh gosh, now I can't even remember the festival, but there's a music festival that a lot of my friends were at and working, and a lot of the artists that I work with were there. And so the second that happened, I was like, I have to do something. And so I started donating to this company or this organization called Everytown. And they're really great and very educational, and they're really doing the work. So if you guys want a tangible thing to do, go donate $5 even, whatever you can give.
And I'll also add that Everytown, if you don't have money to donate, because it's an incredibly difficult time for a lot of people, mm-hmm. and money is just one way, they have these amazing forms you can fill out that will auto email, write a letter, you know, get in touch with your local representatives.
Yes.
But you literally just put your name and your address and it takes care of the rest.
Yes.
So if you can't afford to give money, there are other ways without spending more than 2 minutes of your time to make an impact. So
yes, that's, I agree with you. Glennon Doyle also put up a really great podcast with a lot of resources and information just about gun laws and things we can do and action steps. So if you're feeling like Melody and I are feeling, maybe take a next right step and see what you can do. And yeah, I feel like if everyone just takes one next right step, maybe it starts moving us into the right direction of something. I think this is even bigger than guns, obviously. This is a whole epidemic of just like mental health, lack of self-love, which is what you and I talk so much about, all of the things, and we're just so mad, and there's so much violence and hatred and anger and all of these things that we're not processing, that as human beings, you eventually explode. So anyway, let's get to why we did actually come here today. And it actually started on Instagram. Well, let me go back. You and I connected years ago. It's so interesting because I was writing down notes for this and I was like, oh my gosh, my good friend. And I'm like, I've never actually even met you in person. Isn't that crazy? Because I feel like you have been such a big part of some really important conversations in my life and shifts and changes. And so first of all, thank you. But that just shows the power of technology and social media and all of these things. So we met many years ago when I discovered you because of your self-love movement with Fred and Far, which is a pinky ring that you created for women who, instead of just, you know, focusing so much on, oh, I have to get married to find love and peace, you were like, no, you find love within you. And that was kind of the symbol for that. And so I bought a ring many years ago. I still have it. I still wear it. It is one of my most treasured pieces of jewelry. And now everything has shifted into an even bigger movement for you. And the other way we connected was, well, you know, maybe if you tell the story of why you started Fred and Far, this is a part of why you and I are so connected, because what was happening in your life at the moment that you decided to just stop and pause, and then it created this whole self-love movement in your life, was sort of where I ended up, and you helped talk me through how to actually take a pause. So back us up. Tell us about that part of your life.
Yeah, I was where I think a lot of people find themselves, which is on a runaway train called accomplishment. And my ego is driving the train, and my worth was completely contingent on things like my productivity, how far I was getting in my career, like all external validation type metrics. And I just kept pushing and pushing and pushing and thinking, if I check more boxes, then the prize waiting for me at the station is happiness and joy. Mm-hmm. And I got to the station. I checked all the boxes. I was married. I had kids. I had a house. I had a career. And at the station, I found nothing because I had left myself behind. I had pushed myself so far away from who I actually am, and I had neglected to care for myself and prioritize myself to such a degree that even though I had everything I thought I wanted, I wasn't able to enjoy any of it. And that really sucked. Mm. It really, like, our whole lives, everything is about the happily ever after. It doesn't matter what you endure as long as at the end you get the payoff. And to reach what I thought was the pinnacle and have nothing waiting for me there made me question everything, every decision I had ever made, every aspect of who I was. And I decided, it was January when all of this happened in 2015. And I decided that I'm going to commit to knowing myself. I'm going to choose myself. I'm going to love myself. I'm going to become more aware of who my authentic self is and what she needs. And I'm going to start changing my life to put her in the driver's seat. And that's when I came up with the idea for the Self-Love Pinky Ring, because I needed a reminder. It wasn't easy for me to all of a sudden shift gears and change everything about how I was living and how I was thinking. And so every day I would look at the sparkly ring on my pinky finger, a ring I'd never worn before. And I thought, okay, my ring is my reminder. When I look at it, I'm going to ask myself, how am I showing up for myself today? And that was the beginning of a really transformative era in my life. Because what came next is creating a self-love movement where I was able to connect with women like you all over the world who each slipped on a ring and decided to choose themselves right along with me. And for me, rediscovering my authentic self meant instead of a career as a lawyer, which I had been, or an entrepreneur, like a business entrepreneur, it was time for me to become a writer again, which is something I was when I was really young. And I started writing. And now, 6-7 years later, I'm a full-time author, which is a complete 180 from where I was when I realized in 2015 that I wasn't actually present or happy in my life. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's where we're at now.
I actually love that you just said 6 or 7 years later. Because as you were talking, I was thinking, when I bought that ring, or the first ring that I got was, I wish I could remember.
2017. I think
2017. Okay. It was 2017. So this is 2022. And I left myself so many times in between those, in those years. Like, I knew that I wanted to have self-love, and I knew that that was a journey I wanted to go on, like you just described. I did not know how. I did not really understand how disconnected from myself I actually really was. And so it's not like you all of a sudden just decide, okay, you know what? I'm going to love myself, and it happens. But I do think that it's like these little steps that happen. Like, the second I bought that ring, I was like, you know what? A lot of my friends are married. They have kids. And I was a single girl, and I was building a career, and I was stressed out. Like, I was just stressed about it all. I was feeling the pressure. I was having really big battles within myself of the programming and just feeling very much less than, because I wasn't. But I also didn't, I was like, I don't want to do that to myself. I just knew I didn't want to do it to myself, but I still was doing it. Like, I still then got in a relationship, tried to control and do all these things with my career, all of these things that were not in line with me, but that were me trying to do the life that you first described of checking all the boxes. And you know, it exploded, as it does when that happens, or you get to the end of it and you're not happy. But because of all the abandonment, I think I was able to take small steps in recognizing different ways that I was leaving myself. And that has begun my true self-love journey, because it's all about just reconnecting or even developing the relationship with yourself.
Well, I think, you know, you touched on two things that I think are really, really, really important. One is this idea of control. The ego in all of us, that external facing, like, I want to show the world I'm perfect part of us, thrives on control. The more we can control, the safer our ego feels. Our authentic self, however, is exactly the opposite. It thrives when we surrender, when we pause, when we let go, when we create space, which is all the opposite of how we're programmed. We're programmed to be meticulous, to be perfect, to be productive. And the more you cling to that story, the less room your true self has to breathe. And why is it important to honor your true self? I think and believe that we are all born with purpose. We are all one of a kind. We are all brought onto this earth as unique individuals. And I don't think it's an accident. I think if God or whatever you believe in, like science, however you want to say, science could have made replicas. God could have made replicas. Why is it that there is no other equivalent to Kelly? Mm-hmm. Why is it that there's no other equivalent, past, present, future, to Melody? Well, maybe because it's my only job on this planet is to be me. And so all that time I spent checking boxes and doing what I thought I was supposed to do, I wasn't honoring my purpose, which is simply to be myself. And I only know what my true self wants when I do less, when I struggle less, when I control less. And unfortunately, when you're in a do more kind of culture, it's really hard to choose, to stop, to listen, to create space, to trust. That's not the world we live in. But once you do those things, I do believe that that's when our intuition starts speaking to us, and our intuition is the voice of your authentic self. And then you'll never feel lost again, because you'll always know what you are truly meant to be doing. Mm. And that's why you feel at home, is because you have your voice back, your voice that tells you not what you should do, but who you are, and how you can just simply by being you make the most meaningful contribution to the world possible.
If you know anything about me, you know I am a massive creature of comfort. It is one of my top priorities in life to make my surroundings comfortable at all times. So when I found Cozy Earth, I quickly scooped up all of the luxurious bedding and loungewear that I could. It felt very on brand for me, but then I went on a trip with a girlfriend not too long ago where she could not stop commenting on how cute and comfy my pajamas were, which then made me realize they may also be my new favorite travel companion as well. Guys, I am not kidding when I say you will experience unmatched softness and smoothness with all of Cozy Earth's products. The temperature-regulating bamboo joggers and pullover crew add comfort and a touch of style to any travel ensemble, and their bedding comes in the most adorable totes, making it a super easy gift to give anyone. Discover your next destination for ultimate comfort at Cozy Earth. Visit CozyEarth.com and use our code VELVETSEDGE at the checkout for an exclusive 35% off, and let them know we sent you when you're at the checkout.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit RightRug.com. That's RiteRug.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
The Home Depot wants every mom to have their own outdoor oasis this Mother's Day. Whether that be a new space to relax or a beautiful garden upgrade, at the Home Depot, you can give mom a gift that's as unique as she is, with a stylish and comfortable place to entertain or relax for the mom who does it all. And with convenient delivery, you won't have to stress over getting it to her either. Looking to step up your Mother's Day flowers for the mom who's great with gardening? Let mom's green thumb do some digging with colorful flowers, pots, and premium soils to bring out the most in her patios, walkways, and gardens with the Home Depot's Mother's Day Savings Event happening now. Get Vigoro Potting Soil, just $8.97, for strong, healthy, vibrant plants indoors and outside. Start your Mother's Day shopping and saving today by checking out the Home Depot's extensive selection online at HomeDepot.com or directly in-store near you with convenient pickup and delivery options. See HomeDepot.com/delivery for details. The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
This is the second time in 1 week that I have had a conversation about uniqueness. Like, that's the word that's been used twice now. And it was interesting in the last conversation I had, because she brought it up in the terms of women in our bodies, you know, like, and this is not a knock. I don't feel good anymore when I knock other women. It just feels really gross to me. So I'm not knocking the Kardashians, okay? I'm saying, you know, they have created sort of this movement. They've been a very, in our culture, it's become this big thing of like the big butt, the big boobs, and it's based off of other women's shapes and all these sizes too. They're beautiful women. I actually really believe that. I am built a completely different way. Like, I'm really tall and skinny. I have no boobs and like all this stuff. And it's interesting because like I've spent a lot of my 30s, I think, trying to look the best that I could and like contemplating surgeries and all these things. And I mean, if that's what you want to do, I, again, just support everyone feeling like their best selves. But the word unique comes back into play because it's like, but gosh, doesn't it get so boring? Like, I feel like everyone is starting to look exactly the same. And like, I'm sitting here on this Zoom call with us. And first of all, we both were like, yeah, I'm not looking my best today. So maybe we shouldn't post that video. But actually, maybe we should, because it's just sort of like, you know what? Who cares?
We're here talking about self-love, and I texted 5 minutes before. I'm like, I look like shit. Can we please not post it?
I thought the same thing.
I'm like, this is it. This is, I woke up today. I went for a 1 hour walk, which is a big deal for me.
Yeah.
Didn't have time to put makeup on. Didn't have time to brush my hair.
And it doesn't matter.
I took care of myself.
But
I took care of myself. I could have skipped the walk and put on a face. Like, yep. Would that have been a better thing?
No. I mean, externally, by the world we live in, sure. But like, again, I did the same thing. I was on set until super late last night. I didn't go to bed till after midnight, which is like a lot for me. And I slept in. But I woke up this morning and I was like, okay, I could start doing. I could really start doing right now, even though my body, everything in my body is telling me no. And so I was like, but I'm not going to do that, because that is how I got exactly where I got for the last time we talked. And I'll dive into that in just a second, but like, it doesn't serve me anymore. And like, it doesn't serve me to try to look like Kim Kardashian. Although I think she's a beautiful woman. I'm Kelly Henderson. I'm not Kim Kardashian. And, I think what serves me is to take the breaks when I need it, to rest when I need it, to go on a walk when I need it, to not force myself to be this picture perfect image, to own who I am, to own my uniqueness and my body and my what I bring, and to not put any other pressures on ourselves. And that's when your actual true light really does start to shine.
And you know, Kelly, I've like experimented with this so many times.
Tell me everything.
You know, I have like multiple, I have, you know, social media accounts like everybody else. And I experiment. I'm like, okay, let me post a picture of myself from my very expensive photo shoot where I had hair and makeup and everything was retouched, right? I'll post that photo. And I'm like, then let me take a selfie after I worked out and I'm like sweating and gross, and let's see which one does better. 100% of the time, people connect with the raw photo. They do not connect with the polished photo.
Yeah.
So even though we are in this culture that prizes perfection and we all feel inclined to like do so much to erase our lives from our bodies. So like every wrinkle, every spot, like every sign of life needs to be removed so that we look like mannequins. Mm-hmm. When push comes to shove, even Kim Kardashian, if she posts a picture where she has no makeup on and she's smiling with her kid, I promise you that will outperform any photo where she's in her, you know, Kim Kardashian cosmetics.
Yeah, I actually said to a friend the other day, for some reason we were talking about this, and I was like, God, she's so pretty without makeup. Like, that is actually my thought. And I mean, listen, this is such off on a tangent, but this is just to all women. Of course we want to look good. I have a whole career based off of people looking good. Like, it is my life on so many levels. But I've really, like, in the last, I would say, 5 years, you know, as much as I was getting so focused on that, I was realizing how empty I felt inside, because I don't think it has to just be like, or okay, it was because my life was becoming very singularly focused. And like, to me, true beauty is a marriage of the two, maybe. And when you're completely connected to yourself, or you're really working on your inner, like your insides in general, whatever that looks like for you, that is when you're the most beautiful. It's
one of the poems that I wrote is "All of Me Loves All of Me." Really simple. But what that means to me is that I am embracing the fact that I am a complex person. There is this Walt Whitman poem that says, "I contain multitudes." And that's always resonated with me because I do. And it is with all of those distinct parts of myself that I love all of the distinct parts of myself. That means that sometimes I love to be in full glam and like feel absolutely gorgeous. And I'm working on not feeling shameful or less than when I don't present to the world that way. Mm-hmm. So it's not about saying one is better than the other. It's about figuring out how do I embody that same confidence when I show up in a different way. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm getting there. Because I'm embracing the multitudes within myself. And there's power in that. Mm-hmm. There's power in not being so narrow in our definition of what is acceptable for us to share with the world. And one more like ultra tangent on this that I think is really important. As I've approached 40, my body's changing like at like such a rapid pace. And I like have gained some weight in my stomach that I've never had before. Like even after having twins, after having my son, like I've always had the flattest stomach and I don't right now. And so what did I do? Like I started Googling like control top underwear and Spanx and this and that. And like, I, you know, was on the cusp of buying all this shit to hide my body. And then I asked myself, who am I actually doing this for? And that was a really powerful question because I realized like, oh, I'm doing this to make other people more comfortable when they look at my body. Because at the end of the day, like when I think about how I look in my own head, I always look great. Like I'm not somebody who thinks in my mind, oh my God, you're so gross. You're so fat. You're so this. I thankfully like don't have that narrative. So if I'm spending hundreds of dollars on smoothing appliances, it's not because I need to make my own brain feel better. It's to make other people comfortable. And I am done with that. Like my 40s are not going to be about changing my body or my mind or whatever to fit in the mold of what other people have decided is okay. Mm-hmm. And I think the self-love pinky ring was part of that. Like breaking this mold of like the engagement ring is the only ring anyone should covet in their lives. Like something that represents a belonging to someone else. Like I'm going to break that mold. I'm going to belong to myself and I'm going to wear a beautiful fucking reminder of that. Excuse my language.
No, did you hear me earlier?
And I'm just thinking like in my 40s, how else can I continue to do that? How else can I, this is not like a fuck the world thing. It's it's totally hey world, I'm cool with me. Like your reaction to me is not my responsibility anymore.
I love that.
Right?
Yeah. Because also like there's a couple things popping up for me. One is like people are not just one dimensional, like we said. And so if we're trying to make ourselves constantly a certain thing, like constantly look pretty, constantly fit in a size, whatever. It isn't realistic. And so you're always going to feel this letdown thing or this pressure. And like you said this earlier, but there is so much freedom in just being, you know, and the not forcing and all of those things. And I've heard people say like, oh, people say like, love yourself. And it's like, you're just trying to be okay with being fat or whatever it is. And like, I'm not sitting here being like, be unhealthy and don't take care of yourself. To me, that's self-love. Like, you know, taking care of my body in a healthy way. But I know I have been really prone to beating my body up, to fit in a certain mold or to feel like I had control over what people thought of me. Like I've used my physical appearance, and this is because of how I kind of came up, you know, like I used to model and all these things. And so there's a different kind of pressure because then you realize you get attention from people with certain things. So then it becomes this control tactic for you of being in power. Like you're like, it's like how some people build a big business and that's their form of power and success. And they have the one up on people. Like, well, this was this thing that I had. And so I just felt in control or power that way. It's not real. Like it's all creating this false sense of security, and it's based on something that I wouldn't want people to be drawn to me for anyway. So it's just such a like, I don't know. But anyway, I'm saying all of that to say that I love the piece about accepting all of you and it just ebbing and flowing. It's that thing that like I say to myself sometimes, like I do something or I say something to someone, I'm like, oof, like that was not my best. But I can't do anything about it because I already said it, right? So I can make amends where necessary. And then I can also make a note of like, yeah, that didn't feel so good. So I'm going to do it different next time. And that's the thing with our bodies too and our looks. It's like, well, maybe I've gained 5 pounds or whatever it is. And I don't really like that. And it doesn't feel like my healthiest self. I'm not going to beat myself up about it, but I can start making different decisions. Or
that's it. Like that right there. It's having space for your inner voice to talk to you so you can reflect on what's happening.
Yeah.
When you're busy trying to thrust yourself in a mold and you are unequivocally committed to that mold, there's no room for that voice because it's all about fitting into the mold, whatever you've decided that very narrow, you know, thing is of who you are. I've learned so much about myself allowing my inner voice to talk. And sometimes things that I thought were important to me, I've realized like, actually, no, it's not. But it's only when I let go of that like intense control narrative that like I'm only safe if I'm in perfect control, that now I realize that like what I actually want maybe has shifted and that's okay. Or how I want to show up in the world maybe has shifted. And maybe today I'm a size 10, maybe tomorrow I'll be size 8. And I, you know, and I'm going to shift and flow with all of that.
Well, I think the perfect example of what you just described was what was happening to me when we had the last conversation, or maybe it was it two conversations ago? No, I can't even remember. I think we did a check-in after this, but I had known you to be a person that talked about the importance of a pause. And I had bumped up against extreme major burnout, I would say to the point of a nervous breakdown. And you guys can listen to the conversation that I very rawly just explained all of that to Melody on the podcast, because she helped kind of guide me through the power of the pause. And so much of what even got me to that place was the striving, was thinking that I needed to fit in this certain box. And I literally thought that if I stopped, I would lose everything and my world would crash so far down that I would never be able to get out of it. And you guided me through just like actually taking a break and breathing and taking care of yourself, and how that was the most powerful thing. And it ended up being for me the most powerful thing that I could do. For me, it was the situation where like I really had no other choice because I was in such a bad state. But I think for a lot of us, we're kind of bumping up against that right now with the times of just like this overwhelm. Like we were talking about the gun stuff earlier, but it's been this consistent thing with COVID and like all of the other divisiveness in our country and what's happening. I think it's like really impacting people. And so we're feeling this burnout and this like, I don't know where to go. And so taking the time to realize you don't have to put so much pressure on your life and what it needs to look like at all times, and just kind of accepting the human nature of all of us and taking the pause, like you said, to connect is truly maybe the most important tool that any of us have.
And I really want to take a second and like illustrate, at least for me, like what that looks like in reality.
Yeah.
I think it's really a two-part thing. First, I think we all deserve to have some clarity about what actually matters to us. Like if you had to strip everything away and really get real with yourself about what your priority is, deciding what that is, committing to it, and then asking yourself, what am I willing to let go of to truly prioritize what I say matters most to me? Mm-hmm. And this is hard because we all want to have it all the time. And it's hard to let go of anything. It feels like you're losing when you let go. But in order to have more space for what matters, you have to let go of something or many things. For me, at the end of last year, I've had like a thyroid condition that I've known about for 6 years. And at the end of last year in September, I got an additional diagnosis. So I had thyroid nodules, which by the way, if you're a woman, please get checked, like check your thyroid levels. All women, I promise you, at some point in their lives will have an issue in that area and they don't know about it.
Wow. So
that's like a whole other conversation. Yeah. But I knew I had issues, but then I got another diagnosis in September of Hashimoto's, which is an autoimmune disease that my doctors had completely overlooked because oftentimes, unfortunately, doctors don't listen when you tell them you don't feel good. Which is what had happened to me. I had been saying for years, I don't feel good. And the answer I was getting is, but your levels are fine. Mm. And that went on for a long time. Finally, long story short, I got the diagnosis and I decided at the end of 2021, 2022 is going to be devoted to health. Health is my number one priority, not just mine, but also my family's, because my kids had some stuff that needed attention to. And what did I have to let go of? That's the second piece. And I had to let go of my business because if I'm grinding and hustling and working and selling, there is no room for me to actually pause, take walks, mm-hmm. research supplements, make doctor appointments, take my kid out of state to get the care she needed. So I knew what I needed to do. I knew I needed to cut back on my business. And here's when things got really crazy. So I made that decision in December and I decided February 15th, I'm going to stop working. End of January, my nanny who's been living with us for 10 years left, totally out of the blue. So now I went from having the help I needed to be able to work full time to having no help. So then it was like, okay, great. Like I said, I'm going to stop working. Now I have no choice. I have to stop working. But here's the funny thing. Because I don't have help at home anymore, I'm doing all these physical things. I'm cleaning the kitchen. I'm doing the dishes. I'm doing the laundry. I'm constantly in motion, which is the opposite of what I was before. Before I'd go sit in front of the computer and work for 10 hours at a time and not move an inch. What do you think has happened now that I am forced to move around so much all day long?
My health has gotten better.
Yeah. My health is improving.
Wow.
And it's just, this is like such a small little story, but I really do think that it's a good reminder that setting intentions is different than mapping out a strategy. It's not about knowing exactly how everything is going to play out and being in control, right? That strategy is like a very controlling thing. It's about having an intention, removing the major roadblock to that intention and surrendering to the process. Mm-hmm. I did that. And here are the magical things that have happened since then. My health has improved. My daughter was able to get a life-changing surgery at Seattle Children's Hospital that she needed for a knee condition that she's had since she was born. A condition that doctors here told me there's nothing you'll ever be able to do. And now she's running around and biking and playing and doing all the things she literally couldn't do. So talk about health. My son and I have bonded. We're in love with each other. He's 4 years old. Before that, like we saw each other in passing. I'd see him like in the morning for a little and at night for a little. And like to say we had no relationship might be like a little bit of an overstatement, but we are so bonded my husband and I now, for the first time, are totally aligned about what our goals are as a family. We were living in like parallel lives.
Yeah.
Like we were, you know what I mean? Like he was working. I was working. And we were not aligned at all in terms of what we wanted for each other as a family. Now we're like this for the first time ever, because we're deciding that we're going to be aligned instead of just living parallel lives. Mm. My books are doing great. Like something that is like an absolute dream come true, because I've again, like created space for them. I could go on and on, but it all stemmed from becoming crystal clear about what is my priority? What am I going to make my intention for my life? And what am I willing to give up? Almost like a ritual, right? Like What am I willing to sacrifice or put a pause on or create space through to honor that intention? And then I was just open.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
The Home Depot wants every mom to have their own outdoor oasis this Mother's Day. Whether that be a new space to relax or a beautiful garden upgrade, at the Home Depot, you can give mom a gift that's as unique as she is, with a stylish and comfortable place to entertain or relax for the mom who does it all. And with convenient delivery, you won't have to stress over getting it to her either. Looking to step up your Mother's Day flowers for the mom who's great with gardening? Let mom's green thumb do some digging with colorful flowers, pots, and premium soils to bring out the most in her patios, walkways, and gardens with the Home Depot's Mother's Day Savings Event happening now. Get Vigoro Potting Soil, just $8.97, for strong, healthy, vibrant plants indoors and outside. Start your Mother's Day shopping and saving today by checking out the Home Depot's extensive selection online at homedepot.com or directly in-store near you with convenient pickup and delivery options. See homedepot.com/delivery for details. The Home Depot, how doers get more done. Done.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
I was going to ask you, because When we initially, like, you reached out to me because you just reached out to me on Instagram and you're like, how are you? And I was like, you know, I'm actually doing okay. Like, you know, we kind of just check in with each other every now and again, because I think you've seen me for sure in some of my lowest times. And so it was kind of this check-in, and you wrote back and you said, you know, I can tell.
Yeah.
And I was like, I wanted to ask you, first of all, what that meant. Like, what do you mean by that?
I feel like for a lot of the time that I've known you, a lot of what you would put out there came from a place of like, I need to put this out there.
Mm-hmm.
It was driven by like, I should, I must. And the shift lately has been like, I see more delight, more spontaneity, more I want, instead of this, you know, like this.
Yeah. Oh,
like that's how, I mean, and it's all content, right? Like you and I have not spoken. So it's literally like through this lens of just experiencing you on social media, the vibe I get feels more free.
Wow.
Whereas before it felt like there was a lot of stuff you just had to put out there.
Well, that was the case, because it was very, either obligation driven because of contracts I had, or money driven because, you know, of what I felt like I had to do for that, and just consistency. And when you build a business online, it's a really weird pressure of like, because you're getting all this information. Like I had a blog rep who would constantly be feeding me this like certain amount of things to do to get the algorithm to, you know, it's just like numbers and numbers and numbers and numbers. I didn't even know what I was posting half the time. It was obligatory, like you said. And it's so wonderful to hear that it's reading differently, because it is different in that, like, I don't really know how else to be anymore. It's sort of like none of it actually really like feels good to me unless I really want to say it. Or, and because of so much of the crash, it felt like I did have to let go of what it was, because I couldn't, one, physically do it. Like, my body was completely shutting down. But two, like, our whole world has changed, in my opinion. And so, like, posting about what I'm wearing to everything feels kind of stupid sometimes. You know, every now and again, I like to do it. I love fashion. But, like, I don't really care in the same way I used to. And so you're exactly right. But I think I was thinking of that because when you said that to me, I was like, huh, that's so interesting. And I could go on and on about why that is, but I do believe most of it is about detaching from outcomes and letting go of what you think you have to have, like you were just saying. And like in my life, what I've really been trying to do lately even, and this was probably a product of COVID, if I'm being honest, because my whole world disappeared, like I said, and that happened to me in different avenues as well. But like, when everything disappears, you sort of realize what you actually need to live. And one of the things that I really realized was like, if I let go of a lot of this stuff that I'm striving for, my overhead really isn't that much. So like, I don't need as much money as I even think I do to survive. So once I took that off the table, like the pressures of being a single girl and like building this certain kind of life, of course, I still want a really nice life, but like everyone here pretty much, or, you know, me for sure, like I live a great life. Like I'm okay. I have a lot to be grateful for. And it's okay if I'm not the richest person that I know or whatever. Like I just need enough to feed myself and keep this roof over my head. And
we're so aligned, because for the first time in literally my entire life, I'm in the same place. I'm like, why did I put so much pressure on myself to be richer?
Right.
Because look, I'm privileged. Anyone listening to this can tell. Like,
yeah,
I'm privileged. I live a very nice life. I am not struggling by any stretch of the imagination, but I'm also not like a multimillionaire. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
same. Yeah.
I always thought that like, in order to feel safe, I need to have a boatload of money.
Mm-hmm.
In order to feel happy, I need to have more money. Like I live in a really nice house. I always thought, well, we're going to knock this house down and build a better house. That was always in the back of my mind. And not even just on the back of my mind, like literally my poor husband has like a post-it over his work desk that's like home renovation as one of his goals. I told him last night, I was like, I don't know what's going on, but I don't need a better house. Our house is great. Like if we have money, let's invest it in something. And you should have seen the look on his face. I wiped away like so much pressure.
I was just about to say, was it relief?
Relief.
Yeah.
If he wants to give me whatever I want. Like he's an incredible man and is really like the biggest expander I've ever had in my life. Like he came into my life and truly opened the doors for me to be who I am.
Mm-hmm.
He did that for me. And I used to think I needed more. And now I am realizing what I want is less. My house is too full of stuff. Like there's just, everything is too much. Like that's the vibe I'm in right now. I'm like, how do I streamline?
Yeah.
You know, what can I cut?
Yeah.
And they've done all these studies that show that like after a certain amount of money, like having more money doesn't make you happier. And it's like, I never understood those studies. I was like, that person has never had a Prada purse. Like clearly they didn't. Like having more does make you happier. But I don't think so anymore. Not if having the more locks you into the cycle of anxiety and pressure and hustle and like never feeling like what you have is enough or that you are enough. Like if you can have more, but still be like chill and peaceful and present, then great.
Right. It's like at what expense?
Yeah.
And that to me, like that was one of the gifts of COVID. Like I said, the music industry completely went away and I was stressed. I mean, that is, you know, how I pay my bills. And so, and I would say though, it still hasn't come back and it's still not, I don't know that it'll ever be like it was. And so I've had to really detach from this idea that this industry is going to be the thing that like keeps me alive forever. Like even like certain clients or, you know, whatever it is, I'm like kind of like getting to this place of that will be painful to lose. Like this is what the last 3 years have taught me. That will be painful to lose and I will have to grieve. But if I lose anything in my life, and I'm saying this out loud so everyone can hold me accountable next time I lose something, remind me of this. Okay. But like if I lose something, what is the universe opening up that space for? Because there is always this open space when stuff leaves your life. And I just have started believing truly that that always is because the universe is bringing you something completely different, bigger and better than you ever imagined, or more in line with like what your next journey is supposed to be. Like all the stuff that was in my life has gotten me to the person and the place that I am today. But it couldn't come with me and me be this person. Like I couldn't hold on to such like these certain identities that I had or these certain even financial places that I was and have the lessons come with me or the evolution of who I am, even the self-love piece of it all. Like it wasn't going to happen that way because it couldn't because they were lower vibrations truly. And so like I needed to let them go. It was very fucking painful. I mean, it was awful. It was, there was so much panic. Like I think that's where I was when I kind of had that breakdown was just pure panic because I was trying to still control the tiny little bit of what I had that I felt like I could still control. And it was making me insane because I couldn't, like, we really aren't in control. You know, we're just here to keep showing up and see what the universe has for us that day. And so anyway, all of that is to say that when you said that to me, I was like, huh, that's so interesting. Maybe I am just living now more and not putting so much pressure on myself. And you kind of identified with that as well. And you said the second that you said, since the last time we had talked, like the second you just decided to let go, the universe opened up these doors. So is that what you were describing with your health and all of that stuff? Yeah.
Yeah. Because I, for so long had been holding on to so many spinning plates.
Yeah.
And ultimately it's like none of them were actually changing my life.
Right.
In a meaningful way. You know, like I'm so grateful for everything I've done in my career. I feel like the through line has been that I'm committed to helping other people and I've been really good at helping other people. But I've also been good at using that as a crutch to ignore helping myself. Mm. Like I get so high on being a giver that I can forget that I deserve to give to myself too. Mm-hmm. And I'm also not good to anybody if I'm not here. Right. And like at the end of last year, I felt like I'm not even 40 yet and I'm falling apart. Like physically, I don't feel good head to toe. If I'm not willing to make that a priority, like what good am I to this world? Like if I'm not showing up as this like vibrant, energetic, creative, loving person that I know I am.
Yeah.
And I think we all make sacrifices. Like I think a lot of us, whether it's in service to a company you work for, or to your family that you're taking care of, or your friends that you let like complain to you for 2 hours at a time. But I think we all need to be a little bit more mindful, like you said, of the energy, like what is happening to our life force, to our energy when we don't have boundaries. And like you literally just said this, that in letting go of things, you had to put the focus on like, what am I creating space for? What is the universe going to give me? Mm-hmm. And that's how I actually describe boundaries. Like boundaries aren't about what you say no to. They're about what you make space for. Mm. And for me, the biggest change has been, I used to think that in order to create space, I had to know what I was creating space for. Again, control. Like, okay, like I want to focus on my health. Like, okay, I should sign up for a trainer. I should
be
a dietitian. I should like, I would try to like micromanage the outcome. Whereas now I'm learning that like, okay, what am I willing to receive? Mm-hmm. Like, how can I look at the future as something that is full of awe and wonder and possibility? And instead of like something that I need to manage into existence, mm-hmm. because I'm like really tired of being the manager of my life, my family's life, my friend's life. Like I've tried to manage it all. And now I'm really in a mode where I'm like, let's see, like, I want to receive, delight me, surprise me. Like who would have thought that unloading and loading the dishwasher 4 times a day would improve my posture? But let me tell you, it has, because I'm not hunched over a computer. Or who would have thought that getting sunlight, because I actually, instead of being on the computer, go out and take walks, would improve everything? Mm-hmm. Like sunlight, something that is like so basic that we all have access to and most of us don't get enough of. I don't know. And look, all of this is with the caveat that it's not easy. Like we all have obligations. We all have responsibilities. You can't just blow up your life and be like, okay, no. I'm going to give my notice and what God will provide or the universe will provide. No, that's not what I'm saying at all. Before I stopped selling rings, I created a whole nother income stream through my books. So I basically had 3 jobs at once for 3 years until I was able to let go of something.
Yeah.
So there is planning and there is thought, but at the same time, there is also this willingness to let go of something, which I think is really hard for a lot of us because I look at everything as like a safety net. Like, how could I let go of that? That's my safety net. And now I'm learning to have fewer safety nets so that I could be a little bit more free, right? Because that net that you construct in order to feel safe, it also can sometimes be a bit of a cage.
And yeah. Well, I was going to say the net, it's funny because to me, that's actually a false thing too. Like I agree with you. And most of the times when I'm letting go of things in my life, like I'm not trying to be like, oh, just let go and let God. Like I go kicking and fucking screaming. It is not, it's like, this is easy. But I think like on the good days or in the, you know, the after effect, when I'm looking back, I'm thinking to myself, like whatever it was that I was clinging so hard to wasn't where it actually was anyway. Like the net, the safety net is inside of me. Like the question that when I work with this lady who's, she's like, I call her my breathwork coach, but she's just kind of like a life coach too. But she always asks me, is love present? Is love present? And I start breathing into that every time. And I'm like, is love present? Yes, because love is present inside of me. And then another coach that I work with said to me, are you safe? Are you safe right now? And I was like thinking about it. And I'm like, well, I mean, I could be safer if I, you know, like I want to like justify all this stuff. But the reality is in this moment, as I'm sitting on this phone call with you, yes, I am safe. Like all of the decisions I've made, he taught me this, all of the decisions I've made up into this 39th year of my life on this day of May 26th. Yeah, I am safe. I'm alive. I have my health. I have a roof over my head. Like I am safe. And so all of these things that we cling so hard to are actually not really where the safety lies. Like the safety is truly within us. And so that can be anywhere in any situation. If we are so connected to ourselves that we can identify that.
I love that visual of like being your own safety net, and it's not about anything external. And I think it ties back to what we were talking about before, which is the uniqueness, right?
Yes.
you are designed to be on this earth. And part of that design is to provide yourself with security and knowing that you are capable, that you are okay, that at least for me, I know each night when I go to bed, and I've had to use this as a mantra, it's like, you did your best. That's what I repeat to myself every night, because for so long, I would go to sleep with a to-do list of everything that I didn't do or was supposed to do and was failing at. And I've replaced that now. That list is now just like a loving refrain of, you always do your best. You did your best today. You are a person who always does their best. And whatever didn't happen today, you'll try your best again tomorrow. And I've given myself that like hug, that acceptance, that love, to stop feeling like nothing I do is ever enough. Because that was my story for a really long time. Like I joke that if I write a memoir one day, the name of the memoir is going to be Potential. Right?
Well, mine would be that for many other reasons, but yes.
Right? Because my whole life I felt like unfulfilled potential. Yeah. I always felt like I'm capable of more than I'm doing. Which is like a strange kind of confidence to have, because on one hand you're saying you're capable of so much, but on the other hand you're saying, but you're a piece of shit because you never.
But you're not there yet. Yeah.
Right here, right now, find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
The Home Depot wants every mom to have their own outdoor oasis this Mother's Day. Whether that be a new space to relax or a beautiful garden upgrade, at The Home Depot, you could give mom a gift that's as unique as she is, with a stylish and comfortable place to entertain or relax for the mom who does it all. And with convenient delivery, you won't have to stress over getting it to her either. Looking to step up your Mother's Day flowers for the mom who's great with gardening? Let mom's green thumb do some digging with colorful flowers, pots, and premium soils to bring out the most in her patios, walkways, and gardens with the Home Depot's Mother's Day Savings Event happening now. Get Vigoro Potting Soil, just $8.97 for strong, healthy, vibrant plants indoors and outside. Start your Mother's Day shopping and saving today by checking out the Home Depot's extensive selection online at homedepot.com or directly in-store near you with convenient pickup and delivery options. See homedepot.com/delivery for details. The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
And I think for me, 40, I hope this decade will be one of fulfillment and fruition in the form of finally recognizing that I was always already enough. And how can I show up in my life from that place of wholeness and knowing that I am not lacking, I didn't make every mistake, and that whatever decisions I did make have brought me into this moment. And in this moment, as you said, I am loved, I am safe, I am here, I am healthy. And there is still a lot of good left to be done in this world. And, you know, kind of circling back to what we talked about at the beginning, I think that the two things this world need right now is, one, on an individual level, how can we love ourselves and show up as whole-souled people and not, you know, show up broken, because that's where we make a lot of bad choices. And I tell my four-year-old son this all the time. There are no bad people, just bad choices. So how can we be whole so that we can make good choices? And then the second half is, how can we take care of our community better? Because, you know, I read the book Burnout, and the authors of that book are brilliant. And I don't know why I don't remember their names. That's like another thyroid thing. My memory is just terrible. Highly recommend the book Burnout. But their authors, or two sisters, said that self-care is community care. That it's not enough to say you have to take care of yourself. That true self-care is how we take care of each other. And I think that is the task right now. I think after a few years of like utter isolation, it's time to remember that we are not islands and that we all are so intrinsically connected. And how can we do a better job of caring about each other and caring for each other?
Oh, amen to that. I was thinking about the connection to the beginning as well, because I do think right now, especially in a culture where it doesn't really feel safe, I think that's like kind of the underlying current to every day right now, that we all are just feeling this like, when's the next shoe going to drop feeling. And that's like, it's like being a part of a dysfunctional family or something where you're just kind of like the chaos and the like, it just feels like there's always something that happens. Like it's like the next thing. And so really centering ourselves within ourselves to find that safety and security. And then just like you're just saying, like one of the other tools that I'm constantly reminded of by a mentor is, when I'm spiraling in my own stuff, she's like, you need to call a friend and see how they're doing. Mm-hmm. Like just that one simple action, taking that one step to get on the phone and ask someone else how they're doing, shifts my entire day every time. Because it gets me out of myself. It gets me out of my own head. It reminds me of all the things that I can be grateful for. And it's human connection. And that's what I think we're lacking so much of, which is why we're seeing these things of like this disconnection from self and this disconnection from other humans is, to me, why we're seeing violence and, you know, hostility and divisiveness and all of these things. And so if we could just each individually take those steps, I wonder what would happen.
I think it would be a really good start. And I think that, you know, if people walk away from this podcast with anything, my hope is that they devote just a few minutes to check in and create space for themselves and ask themselves, what is it that matters most to me? And what can I let go of to create more space for that? And then the other piece would be, how can I get a little bit more connected with my community? And I don't mean like your friends and family. I'm talking about people that you otherwise would not normally be speaking to. People who don't necessarily hold the same views as you, people who don't have the same job as you, just community, people around you. Like, can you go leave a note for your neighbor and be like, hey, I'm your neighbor. Here's my phone number. In case of emergency, if you need anything, call me. Or can you spend 5 minutes talking to your, you know, cashier at Trader Joe's and ask them like a personal question and smile at them and connect with them? Like, can you find an opportunity today, even if it's only 5 minutes, to connect with someone outside of your bubble and offer them a little bit of care? I think those two things of knowing and prioritizing what matters to us and building bridges with the people around us could make a really, really big difference.
I agree with you. Okay, well, we kind of know that you're a full-time author now. So tell the people where they can find you and also what you have coming up.
Okay. I'm very easy to find. Melody Godfred. My books are sold in bookstores around the country or on Amazon. If you're into poetry, I wrote Self-Love Poetry for Thinkers and Feelers. It's a collection of poems that are designed to ignite your heart and mind. And then if you're more of a journaler, I wrote The ABCs of Self-Love. It's a guided journal that lovingly shows you what self-love actually is from A to Z. And what I'm most excited about is I have a new book coming out in the fall called The Shift, Poetry for a New Perspective. They're illustrated pairs of poems that help you make the shift into the new world, from fear to love, from control to surrender. All the themes that we've been talking about are in this book. And there are a lot of poems related to my experience during the pandemic and how I work to shift my perspective. Because for a minute there, things got really grim and, you know, continue to be in a lot of ways, but I still believe that we can see the beauty in the world and in each other, and from that place start transforming the world we live in. So The Shift comes out in September. If you want to do me the greatest favor in the world, please pre-order it. It's available again on Amazon, everywhere else, every other book retailer's website. The reason pre-orders are important is because there is a paper shortage. and a supply chain issue. And my publisher has already ordered, you know, a certain amount of books, but they will not order more books because of the shortage unless there are pre-orders. Wow. So it's like a real logistical nightmare.
Yeah.
And it's a good problem to have that my books tend to sell, but like as an author, you work so hard to create something and then to be told, oh, like your book's out of print because we ran out of copies and there won't be more for 2 or 3 months. That happened with Self-Love Poetry twice already this year,
wow,
where even though they've already printed 20,000 of them in the last 6 months, they've sold out and they're like, sorry, there's a backlog at the printer. So we'll get more in a couple months. So pre-order, please, so that, you know, they order enough of the shift. And that is my very awkward plea to you.
I just think it's the reality of the world we live in. And it's so crazy because I think we're so used to instant gratification that it's a whole different mind shift. I was literally having the conversation yesterday with a friend about being able to find workers and just like, it's just a different world right now. And I don't know if it'll go back, but this is where we are today. So I think that's just, it's just communication, healthy communication.
Communication. And it's a book I'm really proud of. And
yeah, sounds very timely for sure.
The way the book is designed, when you read the poem on the left side of the page, it's going to give you like anxiety because it's written from that place of that tension feeling.
Yeah.
But then when you read the poem on the right side of the page, you feel this incredible release. And it was really interesting writing a book in this style because it embodied what as humans we're capable of, like with our thoughts. Like simply our thoughts can make us feel so anxious and tight and tense and burdened. And then all it takes is like a shift of perspective and we can feel joyful and free and in a state of like love and flow.
Mm-hmm. It's the problem to the solution. It's the shift. I love that name, the shift. That is so good.
Thank you. Well, I can't wait for you to have it, Kelly. And you said shift in the first like 5 minutes of this talk.
Did I?
And when you said it, I was like, like the universe speaks to me all the time.
Yeah.
And thank you. Thank you for being my sister and
oh
for
my
having
God.
The important conversations. To be human is to connect. And I feel so connected to you. So thank you for making me feel human.
It is completely mutual. Thank you so much again for being here. And I just always love the rawness of our conversations. I know they kind of go all over the place, you guys, which is like not the typical podcast format. And that is a practice of letting go for me too. But I do feel like this is any sort of conversation I would have with my friends. And so it's really fun to take the listeners just kind of on a normal journey with everybody, you know, we're all just human here. So Melody, thank you for being here. I'm going to put all of the links to all of the books in the description of this podcast. And I'll also link Melody's Instagram, which is at Melody Godfrey as well. So you guys go check it out. And thanks so much for listening. Melody, thank you.
Thank you, Kelly.
Thanks for listening to the Velvet's Edge podcast with Kelly Henderson, where we believe everyone has a little velvet and a little edge. Subscribe for more conversations on life, style, beauty, and relationships. Search Velvet's Edge wherever you get your podcasts.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RiteRug.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.